Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Valentine Proposal by Beth Pugh, narrated by Emily Durante. Chapter 1. Mason Montgomery sat at a back row table and nursed his diet soda because he was a responsible adult, a tax-paying, church-going, calorie-counting grown-up who knew what he wanted and how to get it. That was the man he'd become between the last time he'd left the high school gymnasium and this reunion, the first he'd attended, celebrating 10 years since graduation. He was a man who'd learned to work smarter, not harder, understanding time was of the essence, fleeting and in demand. It was why he'd scheduled a meeting with old man Rowe a few hours before the reunion, killing two birds with one stone. After the appointment, Mason wished he'd opted to wait. The first bird flew the coop with Mr. Rowe's swift rejection. The second left little hope for a happier ending while Mason wallowed in misfortune.
"Mace, is that you, man?"
Mason stood from the table and shook hands with the approaching figure, seeing past the suit-wearing professional to the guy he was blessed to call a buddy. Shoving aside his pity party, Mason worked on turning his frown upside down. He owed his friend that much.
"Sure is. How have you been, Clay?"
"Decent."
Clay Hart blew out a breath as he released Mason's hand. The slightest shadow slid down his face, but a smile replaced it so fast, Mason second-guessed seeing it.
"Good to see the Windy City hasn't blown you away yet."
Mason chuckled and returned to his seat, gesturing for Clay to join him.
"It came close, for sure."
Clay sat, propping his ankle on his knee and resting his hand just above his loafer.
"This internship is tough, but in the best possible way."
"I'll bet," said Mason.
"Is Sammy Ray in town, too? She's living in Chicago with you, right?"
"Yeah, sis is sharing my apartment. She's already back there. Caught a nonstop flight from Lexington a few days ago. Mom couldn't convince her to stay another day in Kentucky. The city suits her. Me, not so much. I'm glad the reunion gave me an extended holiday in the mountains. It was a stroke of genius to schedule it for the Friday after Christmas. Most everyone I know still comes home for the holidays. Mom would kill me if I didn't."
Clay released his leg and scooted his chair a little closer to the table.
"Same for me, man."
An image of his mother flittered through Mason's mind, her smile brighter than the tree itself when he'd told her he was staying in Pine Valley indefinitely. For Mason, the Kentucky roads didn't just take him home, they were home.
"What about you?"
Clay reached for his pop bottle.
"How are things going, Mr. Big Shot Photographer?"
"To be honest, not so great. Did you know old man Rowe was looking to sell forget-me-not photography?"
"Nah, Mace, I didn't. You thinking about buying it?"
"More than thinking about it."
Mason examined his hands, paying close attention to his left ring finger.
"I made an offer today, but Mr. Rowe turned me down. Said he wanted a local family man to turn the business over to. I am neither. Apparently I've been gone too long to be considered a Pine Valley native, and my bachelor status doesn't fit the bill." "I don't get it, man."
Clay, his brow furrowed, drummed a beat on the table.
"I mean, the studio's been going for 30 years, so I can understand wanting to leave it in reliable hands, but does it really matter if those hands are attached to a married man or not?"
"You wouldn't think so, but it is what it is."
Mason blew out a deep sigh.
"I'll figure something out."
After another long exhale, Mason remembered his manners.
"Tell me what's new with you."
Clay wasted no time diving into the details of the new law firm he'd signed with. The legal mumbo-jumbo dazed Mason like his former teacher's lesson plans, but he nodded along as he drank his soda and watched the back door for his classmates. Mid-sip, a familiar face stepped into his line of sight, making him swallow hard to keep from spewing pop everywhere. Lillian Dawson, chief. Editor-in-chief, to be exact, leader of the Pine Valley Gazette, the school paper that had pushed the two of them together all 4 years of high school. Chief, for short, and for the frenzy the name worked Lillian into. There was no prettier sight than a wide-eyed, red-cheeked Lillian. Watching her, Clay's voice faded away, replaced by a rushing of blood between Mason's ears. She was exactly as he remembered her, slightly crooked nose and knock-your-socks-off smile, poised, graceful and elegant in a little black dress beneath a fitted fire-engine-red blazer. A few stray curls framed her face, while the rest of the unruly locks were secured by some sort of twist. Mason let his gaze linger, adding the picture to the mental album he used so much it had never collected dust. She wasn't the one who got away, but the unexplored might have been, since he'd never worked up the courage to make a move. Instead, he preferred sideline stares, watching from afar while she carried on, none the wiser. Mason straightened his chair as she floated across the shiny gym floor. Maybe tonight he'd get a fresh start. Maybe he'd ask her to dance. Maybe he'd work up the nerve to tell her he...
What do you think?
Mason blurted the singular thought he was capable of forming in that moment, not even caring enough to turn back to the table.
She's beautiful.
Huh?
Who?
Oh, gotcha. Clay had crossed his arms over his chest, a smug grin firmly in place when Mason turned back to face him.
Guess some things never change. Shut it, and tell me what you were asking before this drink finds its way over your head.
Even though the threat was hollow, Mason narrowed his eyes at Clay from across the table. The last thing he needed was commentary on his high school crush that refused to die. Try as he might to keep his feelings for Lillian under wraps, Mason's attraction to the blonde beauty was no secret to the man seated across from him. When Lillian received an anonymous rose with a knock-knock joke for a message sophomore year, Clay had put two and two together and got four, recognizing the joke from a book Mason had toted around.
Well, now that I have your attention,
Clay chuckled,
I was wondering if I need a new biopic since I took on the internship. It's your preference, but an update is never a bad idea. I'll knock it out for you before you head back. I'm in town indefinitely.
Interesting. Lillian is home again, too, and single. Clay leaned across the table and waggled his brows. Mason gave him the evil eye before scanning Lillian's hands. Being only two tables away, he spotted the glint of a stainless steel band on her fourth finger. He felt the air rush out of him, until he realized it was on her right hand and looked identical to the purity ring attached to his key fob. There'd been chance after chance to renege on his vow of celibacy. All those women abroad, gorgeous, mouth-watering women, eager for his attention and appreciative of his looks, had been tempting. But he'd never crossed that line, regardless of what might have been said or printed that stated otherwise. He'd reserved true intimacy for marriage, and after seeing evidence that Lillian had done the same, he'd never been happier with his choice. Tonight might be his second chance. Before he talked himself out of his seat and into Lillian's space, the DJ interrupted.
Y'all are not going to believe what I found. It's the most redneck time capsule I've ever seen. Anyone remember what's in here?
The DJ stood from behind the turntable and looked around the gym. The graduates of Pine Valley High did not disappoint as shouts flew from across the room. Prom Queen's Garter, Band Conductor's Wand, Senior Edition of the Gazette. The last guess glued Mason's feet to the floor as the guy behind the turntable started holding up each item. When a copy of the aforementioned Gazette waved in the air, the room got hot, too hot for comfort. Mason shifted under the heat wave, begging to find a non-existent breeze in a room without windows. He clutched the front of his shirt and fanned himself, but it did little to cool his rising temperature. He knew what was in that periodical, a promise he'd made to Lillian as well as to himself a decade ago. It didn't matter, though, did it? Surely not. Except Mason knew better. Their agreement mattered more now than ever. With trembling hands, Mason drained his drink. Fizz from the carbonation tickled his nose as he gulped, welcoming the frosty soda. The relief ended much too quickly, for as soon as the cool liquid slid down his throat, his mouth was dry again. Desperate, he tipped the melting ice into his mouth while his mind raced with possibilities. Maybe this really is my second chance. this was the kind of killing two birds with one stone Mason was down for. If Mason made good on their agreement, he'd be the protege Old Man Rowe wanted, a married man living in Pine Valley. Ludicrous? Maybe, but Mason needed that studio to move his career back home. If fulfilling a 10-year-old promise gave him the business of his dreams and a chance with the girl worth waiting a decade for, even better.
"This segment seems interesting. I think it deserves a read."
The DJ cleared his throat and started reading. When the title echoed above the crowd, Mason recognized it as the excerpt he'd been hoping for. He mouthed the words he knew by heart in time with the DJ, his knee bouncing a frenzied rhythm to the familiar line.
"If in 10 years we are both unattached, we will get hitched on Valentine's Day. Signed, Lillian and Mason." Aw, how sweet. Mason, you here?
Mason didn't answer, but sat slack-jawed, trying to process. How many times had he recited those exact words? The unofficial Valentine proposal had become a chant to push him through the lonely hotel nights or the unbearable frame-by-frame early morning edits. It was the mantra he recited when home seemed but a memory instead of a dot on the map waiting for him. The promise was more than a spur-of-the-moment quip. To him, it always had been. What was it to Lillian? Only one way to find out.
"Mason?"
The DJ repeated his name, but Mason stayed still, not for fear of embarrassment or indecision, but because he needed to find a ring. With a deep breath in and out through his nose, Mason willed the trembling in his hands to stop as he scanned the room. In seconds, his gaze landed on Clay's empty pop bottle.
"You done with that?"
asked Mason.
"Yeah, why?"
Mason didn't answer. Instead, he grabbed the bottle, unscrewed the lid, and pulled the plastic ring off as fast as he could. Clay took hold of the bottle with the caution of a snake handler and sat it down easy.
"Mace, I know that look, and nothing good ever comes from it. Whatever's rolling around in that thick brain of yours, don't do it."
"Come on, Clay. You heard the DJ. I've got a proposal to get to."
Mason stood up as eyes from all across the gym centered on him. The back of his shirt pulled taut as more sweat beaded beneath the material. With each step toward Lillian's table, the room quieted until Mason's own breath was all that broke the silence in his ears. He inhaled deeply and prayed for a miracle, saying amen, just as Lillian jumped from her chair. As if on cue, Clay pointed at the two of them and clapped. When Lillian's eyes met his, Mason knew he was a goner. Too late to turn back now. It's showtime.
"Hey, Chief."
Mason dropped to one knee. Chapter 2.
"Will you marry me?"
Come again? Lillian's voice sounded small and squeaky, an accurate representation of how she felt. Hushed whispers of her classmates circled around the gymnasium, transforming to low-level screams within her ears, making it impossible to concentrate on the question at hand. Not that she wanted to. Concentrate, that is. Currently, sinkholes were more interesting to focus on, specifically the possibility of one opening beneath her feet. Did that kind of thing happen in real life? In Pine Valley, Kentucky? To her? Doubtful. A throat cleared in front of her, pulling her back to the man kneeling on the newly buffed foul line. Mason Montgomery grinned wider, as if he hadn't a care in the world, like this behavior, asking for her hand in marriage after not speaking to her for a decade, was par for the course.
"You've not changed a bit, Chief, making a man repeat himself while in the middle of a proposal."
Mason paused, showing his flair for the dramatic. Lillian ducked her head as a rush of heat passed over her cheeks. Though Mason had grown silent, his nickname for her still rang in her ears. When he'd called her Chief in high school, the name had rankled her nerves. But tonight, as it replayed over in her head, Lillian heard an affectionate endearment rather than a teasing sneer. With a deep breath, she raised her head back up, her eyes immediately finding Mason's.
if the gorgeous combination of browns and greens staring back at her wasn't enough to make her stomach somersault, the mischief fueling his stare surely was. Beneath the whimsy, though, another emotion peeked out. She recognized it immediately. Fear. Without a mirror, she knew the same feeling shone back at him as her stare flip-flopped between his face and the makeshift ring he held. What was he holding up? A piece of a pop bottle? For a ring? Lillianne never thought of herself as high maintenance, but this was a whole new level of simple. With great care, he inched the ring to the edge of her finger before repeating the question and blowing her plan for a quick night of solo mingling. The reunion was supposed to be so simple. Sneak in, sip some punch, smile nonchalantly, shake hands when necessary, and go home to a warm bath with bubbles a foot high. Maybe join a dating site or two if she worked up the nerve. Up until this point, the reunion had followed the expected trajectory, a path that zigzagged into chaos when that blasted memory box was brought out. She made a mental note to thank Emma Lou properly for reminding the class about it, since it had led to Mason kneeling at her feet. Mason Montgomery. Handsome. Talented. Annoying. She'd put up with the scrappy photographer's shenanigans in high school because it had been in the paper's best interest, as well as her own. His photographs were the most delicious arm candy to her carefully crafted words. But there was no article to be written tonight. No deadline to meet. Absolutely no reason to indulge in the prank. But Lillianne couldn't break the moment. If she were honest with herself, she didn't want to. Even if his insanity induced sweaty palms and itchy skin. Mason's magnetic personality was as strong as ever, and in his presence, even with all eyes on them, she felt lighter. It was that feeling that had taken their relationship from co-workers to friends all those years ago. Tonight, he was still that friend. A friend cashing in on a decade-old promise of marriage? Not exactly the kind of friend Lillianne expected to find at the reunion. She blinked hard, half expecting Mason to be gone when she opened her eyes. But he wasn't. He remained, eyes fixed on her, his chest rising nearly in sync with hers. They were both breathing faster than normal. She'd never told Mason why she'd gone along with the proposal, because she'd assumed he'd been joking like she had been. Mostly joking. A small part of her, though, agreed to counter the rising fear of loneliness, a fate her mother had been sentenced to after divorce. A warm hand captured her left palm, the action centering her thoughts on the question suspended between her and the joker of a boy now turned man. Mason chuckled lightly before repeating the question.
I'll say it again a little slower so it sinks in. Lil, will you marry me?
The repeated proposal ignited another collective gasp from the crowd and a shaky breath from Lillianne. She wanted to ask if he was kidding, but the sweat-drenched brow and spike in his voice proved otherwise.
Mason, I don't know what to say.
Say yes, Chief, and let's make good on our agreement. It is recorded in black and white, after all, and I know how important your word is to you.
He gentled his verbal jab with a wink. The validity of his statement knocked her back on her heels. For Lillianne, words were more than letters strung together to pass the time at the coffee shop. Words were the strongest tie that binds, a light among the darkness, and certainly meant to be exchanged with the utmost care. Her word was as good as gospel, but a marriage proposal written over 10 years ago? That was a bit much, even for one as beholden to the written word as herself. Yet it wasn't. Not really. With Mason in front of her asking for her hand and Dr. Branham's warning playing in her ears. I'm not trying to scare you, but if you're looking to start a family, sooner rather than later would be best. Lillianne couldn't go back in time, but with Mason offering marriage, she could start at the present without having to search high and low for a date. The love department had not treated her kindly, no string of broken hearts left in her wake. And no men banging on her apartment door, her apartment above her mother's garage, Not that there'd be time to answer them if there were. Busting Bud at the family bakery and begging for scraps at the newspaper office took up all her time. And what do I have to show for it? Nothing. A failure who spent Saturday night alone, panic-ridden, unlovable, barely making ends meet journalist. Whereas Mason was the opposite, life of the party, handsome, top of his field celebrity. When Lillianne chanced to glance up from the floor, earth-gaping holes faded from her mind as a family picture developed. Simultaneously, keywords from her internet research on infertility popped up like thought bubbles. Ovulation disorders, hormone levels, dying eggs. All suspects the gynecologist believed might be causing her irregular menstrual cycle. If ovulation was the problem, like Dr. Branham feared, Lillianne needed to get started on a family as fast as possible. To do that, she needed a husband, and Mason miraculously stepped up to the plate. Concern for the future tipped the scale in Mason's favor. Accepting his proposal was an easy choice. Better yet, it was a safe choice, since he'd skipped the wooing portion of the relationship and went straight to forever. The pressure of getting the guy, which Lillianne had always struggled with, melted like cotton candy in the rain. Failure wasn't an option. Regardless, marriage meant forever, and the thought of being stuck in an unhappy relationship made Lillianne's skin crawl beneath her blazer. So much time had passed. Lillianne had changed, and from the looks of it, Mason had as well. From class clown to an award-winning photographer. From aggravating to amazing. Did the two of them realistically have a chance at making it work? It's worth a shot. Lillianne schooled her features and drew in a long inhale. Before she had time to rethink her decision, she whispered, "Okay."
"Okay?"
Mason cocked his head to the side as he repeated the word, one corner of his mouth turning slightly up.
"I mean, yes," she rolled her eyes. "Yes, Mason, I'll marry you."
The smidgen of a smile he'd smothered minutes before burst across his face as he gently slid the ring onto her finger. Applause sounded as Mason rose to his feet and opened his arms to her. Lillianne stepped into them, wondering how absurd the two of them looked. Mason was now her fiancé, for goodness sake, and she was giving him a church hug. Oddly enough, he didn't seem to mind as he tucked the top of her head beneath his chin. The sweet gesture sparked an unfamiliar sensation, starting in her chest and spiraling outward to the tips of her fingers and toes. Excitement? Foolishness? Redemption? Lillianne was still sorting through the myriad of options when she stepped away from Mason and into their new reality. The depth of the transpired events hit her full force as she finally pinpointed the odd emotion filling her frame. Calm. The calm before the storm. Chapter 3. Less than 72 hours in Pine Valley, and Mason found himself in a state of regression. He didn't live on the fly anymore. He'd grown out of that. But one high school reunion set him back a whole decade as his past, where impulsivity governed his life, resurfaced, resulting in an impromptu proposal and impending marriage.
"Marriage,"
Mason voiced the craziness out loud, the word tasting foreign on his tongue. The proposal had surprised him as much as it had the rest of the room, but he meant it, and not merely because it gave him a shot at getting in good with old man Rowe. That weighed heavily on the decision, but so did Lillianne's shy smile and sweet personality. Mason sat down in the corner chair of the foyer, trying to get his head on straight. Silence filled the lobby of the B&B Inn, except for the occasional hint of footsteps above his head. The light pitter-pat made a good thinking soundtrack. If he were honest, the Valentine proposal between him and Lillianne had been tucked away in the back of his mind since the day he signed it. A couple of times a year, he'd dust off the memory and entertain the what-ifs surrounding the hypothetical arrangement. Still, thinking about it and acting on it were two different animals altogether. No, not merely different animals, different species entirely, on different continents, on the opposite ends of the earth.
But when the DJ read their pact aloud, his heart leaped within his chest. Mason didn't think, he simply acted. And the results? Nothing less than a miracle. She said yes. Good gravy, the girl said yes. Why, he had no idea. Lillianne was more than a mystery. She was a Rubik's Cube, and he was colorblind. Judging from their interaction the night of the reunion and their stilted phone conversations that had followed since, she was still as introverted as ever. In high school, Lillianne had locked herself up so snug, his best efforts to draw her out often ended null and void. They'd had meaningful moments, but too few and far between, making him wonder if the relationship he remembered was all in his head. Perhaps their connection was one-sided, alive for him, but dead for her. No matter, he was a strong believer in resurrection, especially when it came to his fiancée. Mason laughed a little to himself as the phone in his pocket buzzed. When he fished out the device, his brother's face lit up the screen.
"Hey, Mikey, what you up to?"
"I think that's my line, Deuce. Ready for your engagement party Friday?"
Mason huffed,
as if I have a choice. "Hey now, big brother knows best."
Mason turned his gaze to the ceiling, remembering all the times he'd heard that line after their father's stroke. With their dad in rehab, Mikey had been tasked with caring for the house and the little brother after school. Of course, Mikey, being the overachiever that he was, took it to the extreme. Mason had never had to lift a finger to do anything, and he hated the feeling of helplessness that had filled him in response. Mason gripped the phone tighter.
"You know that's not true anymore, right?"
"Sure it is."
"Nope,"
Mason sighed, loud enough he was sure Mikey heard it.
"Ace, I really don't think an engagement party is a good idea when Lillianne and I haven't even had a chance to talk about the wedding."
"Which is why you have to let me do this. An engagement party will prove how excited you are. You want her to know you're happy, right?"
"Of course, but Lillianne doesn't like surprises," and
Mikey's baritone laugh rumbled through the phone speaker.
"Says the man who proposed on a whim at a class reunion. I think it's safe to say the party is peanuts compared to that."
"Touché,"
Mason nodded to himself.
"Since you won't take no for an answer, I'll be there. Thanks for throwing it together on such short notice."
"Thank Mary Ellen when you see her. All I did was book the community center and get supplies."
"Still, I appreciate it, especially with how you feel about the engagement. I know you think I'm joking, but I'm not. I'm serious."
"You don't know the meaning of the word, Deuce."
Mikey chuckled again. Mason bolted upright in the seat.
"I do."
Why did talking to Mikey make him revert back to that helpless kid he'd been growing up? The kid cloaked in the shadow of a perfect big brother, only visible to the family when causing a scene or making them laugh.
"Oh, yeah? Have you made any plans beyond your big display?"
Mason pinched the bridge of his nose.
"That's what today's for. I'm meeting Lillianne after her shift at the bakery."
"Maybe there's hope for you yet."
A keyboard clicked to life, and then there was a rustling sound through the speaker. Mikey exhaled loudly.
"Be real with me, bro. Are you actually going to get married?"
"That's the plan."
"Okay."
Mikey elongated the last syllable.
"If this really isn't some kind of twisted joke, why don't you put your money where your mouth is?"
Mason raked a hand through his hair.
"Money where my mouth is? What do you mean?"
"What I mean, Mace, is that I know Ma already dubbed you the new groundskeeper for the B&B Inn, and if memory serves me right, you hate landscaping. What'd you say to a little wager?"
A crinkling sound rang through Mason's ears, followed by a muffled,
"Boys, stop that. Chase, you're old enough to know better. Screwdrivers are not swords."
"What? That's not an excuse. I don't care if Caden started it."
Another rustling roared.
"Sorry about that,"
Mikey continued.
"What was I saying?"
Mason rubbed his fingertips over his temple, making small circles he'd read were supposed to be calming.
"You wanted to bet on my marriage."
"Oh, that. Yep, it seems like a safe wager. If you get cold feet,
You'll be taking care of Ma's yard and mine every 3 weeks, no exceptions. But if you end up making it down the aisle, I'll take over Ma.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?